you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Judges, the 21st chapter of the book of Judges. I'm going to read verse 24 and 25. I'm believing God to minister to us this morning. Amen. The Bible tells us, and the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his own tribe and to his family. And they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. And in those days there was no king in Israel. And every man did which was right in his own eyes. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, hey! It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to talk to you this morning, project to you those words. It said, and in that day there was no king. And I want to ask you a question. What if there was no king? Imagine a world without Jesus. Think about it. Imagine a world without Jesus. Man, no boundaries. No freedom. No faith. No hope. No love. Nothing. I mean, we just have it made, wouldn't we? Think about it. The world would be quite different from what it is right now. A world without boundaries. We'd be free to do what we wanted to do. Live like we wanted to live. No rules to live by. Wouldn't it be awesome? Amen. No God to have to worry with. No Sunday morning to have to get up and go to church. No tithes to have to pay. Nothing if there was no Jesus. Boy, it just seems like the wonderful thing. But you know what? Many would love to live this way with no guilt, no consequences. I mean, all that would be true. But if we live life that way, it'd only get us in trouble. Amen. Restrict us, we wouldn't really be free. Bring out the worst in us, not the best. We'd always be questioning what could have happened. What would it have been like if only this had been that way? You ever notice that they went down into the Pacific Islands when they were going through there the first time and the discoverers were going to those islands? They found them worshiping all kind of, you know, images and gods, and they started knocking them down, telling them they weren't gods, and they left and went back. And you know what they found? Islands full of people that were burned out drug addicts, because without God they had nothing to believe in, nothing to look forward to, nothing to hold on to. Yet we've got people said, oh, I wish I lived in a world without Jesus. And the truth of the matter is, without him, we would end up as a bunch of burned out drug addict alcohol. We almost have a world like that now, don't we? And why do we have it? Because most people have locked Jesus out of their life. They don't understand the importance of that birth. It's not about getting presents. It's not about a time of the year when everybody feels good. We celebrate a time when a little child came to this world to give us life, came to this world to give us peace, came to this world to give us joy, came to give us life and it more abundantly. And because of that, we celebrate that season. But if life never came, if Jesus had never come to this world, what a mess we would be in right now. Because you see, if Jesus never came to the world, let's face it, things would be a lot different. Even though it sounds good initially, I think we'd agree, even most of us who are religious folks, the boundaries are pretty good. The guidelines ain't that bad. But you know what? More and more God's boundaries, rules, and guidelines are coming from a loving creator who knows what's on the other side, who knows what's best for us. Come on, church. Amen. I remember one time I used to think my mom and dad was mean because they whipped me. And then I realized most of the time the things they'd done to me was keep me from getting into more trouble. Hello? Come on, church. I think one of the problems we got today is somebody taught our kids, our parents today, that they shouldn't whip the kids. I think his name was Spock. Am I not correct? That's the idiot that wrote that book. You realize his son committed suicide before he was 21. The only child he raised. I don't want my kids dying, so I'm going to whip them. My kids may be in their 20s, but if they need it, I'd still take them down. Alex, I'm not sure about that. Now listen, I was 18 last time my mama whipped me. I took it because my daddy was close by. My mom was bad, but my daddy was worse. I remember telling my daddy one time I was too old for him to whip, so he grabbed me by his left hand, threw me up on the wall, my feet off the floor, and that right hand's loose, and I'm thinking, that's his good arm. He said, if I can't whoop you, I'll treat you like a man. I'm going, no, please, because I'd seen him treat some men bad. Glory. I didn't want to be on the receiving end of that. Some of y'all saying, preacher, you're crazy. No. You see, God understands we need boundaries. God understands we need lines that we can't draw. He knows your life. He knows what you're going to face. He knows what's around the curve. And because of that, he understands the guidelines we need to be in and where we need to be. I mean, let's face it, without God, you know, most folks say they don't want to go to church because church has got too many rules. There's too much bondage. I can't do this. I can't do the other. You ever notice the things we try to keep you from doing, the very things that can kill you in the future? Amen. We don't want you going out getting drunk driving a car because you kill yourself and somebody else. We don't want you taking drugs because they ruin your life. I mean, we try to tell you not to do things. We want you to stay away from sin. Why? Because sin will destroy your family. Sin will destroy your life. Sin will destroy everything going on with you. But yet we don't want the rules. We want to set free. We want life as if there is no Jesus. But then we want a Savior when we get in trouble. You see, if you look at it, you'll find that in the book of Judges, they thought everything was wonderful. But notice this, if there was no king, if there was no rules, and there was nothing to live by, things would only end up in frustration and ultimate spiritual hopelessness. Listen, no boundaries means no guidance. Judges chapter 5, the 6th verse. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gate, and was there a shield or a spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? No boundaries actually meant that they're without protection. In a time of the judges, there were many cycles of sin. The people would obey God. God would bless them. Then they forget who God was, and they'd fall into all kinds of problems. Troubles would come. Enemies would destroy them. They'd find themselves as slaves, and they find themselves in bondage, and it was a continuous cycle because there was no one who was really in charge. And notice what it said, they had to actually get off the roads, because on the roads you get robbed every day. And they went by the byways and snuck around, and it said it even came to the place the people ceased. They started locking themselves in their homes for fear that somebody was going to break in on them. They started worrying about what was going to happen with everything they had, trying to protect it. And so they just literally stopped everything they were doing because they're afraid to do anything. Can I tell you, we're about to that place in the world today where we're so afraid to move, that we're afraid something's going to happen, that we're going to die, that somebody's going to break in the house and steal everything we got. But can I tell you, there's one way to solve that problem. Sell out to a God who has the power and the grace to overcome everything in this world, and realize there is a God and there is a Jesus. Could you say amen? He did come to this world, and he did live in this life, and he did die on the cross. And because of that, I have the redemptive plan of God in my life, and I've got a right to believe that I've got life everlasting. Could you say amen? If Jesus had not come to the world, we wouldn't even have the Ten Commandments to worry about. I mean, let's face it, without the adoptive power of God, none of us would be Jews, so we wouldn't have nothing to worry about. They're the ones got to live by the Ten Commandments. Hello? Come on, church, smile at me. That's why people like me, New Testament Christians, they think they can leave the old stuff off. The truth of the matter is, the New Testament didn't do away with the old, it just fulfilled it. Amen. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. Come on, church. See, no boundaries actually means that we're all out of protection. No boundaries means no protection. None of the truth of the spiritual protections applies in Ephesians chapter 6, the 10th verse. You ever read that? Put it up on the screen, because I got it written a different way. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Next verse. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Woo. That sounds good, don't it? But if Jesus hadn't come, here's what it says. Finally, brethren, there is no possible way that you can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There is no armor of God, so you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What is important about these verses is not so much about what they say, but the protection they offer over the next verses. Read the 12th verse. For he wrestled not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. Amen. Come on, church. Say, what are you talking about? See, we live in a world that is a dangerous world. We live in a world that is full of evil. And without Jesus Christ, we have no protection. Without Jesus Christ, we have nothing to deliver us from the very things that's trying to destroy us. Understand, Satan has one purpose. He wants every one of us to go to a place God never intended us to go. Amen. Hell was not created for one human being. It was made according to Scripture for the devil and his angels. But the truth of the matter is, men go there because they'll have it no other way. They don't want to back off. They don't want to get right. But if they give their heart to God, they have the protection of Jesus Christ. But if Jesus never came, none of us would have any protection from the things of the devil. Could you say amen to that, church? The world's a dangerous place. Without Christ, there's nothing we could do. But if we have a dangerous enemy, there's principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual hosts. Amen. The reference to spiritual realm that is above normal human being abilities, which simply means we would have no way to protect ourselves from the evil of this world. Can I tell you something, church? I don't want to shake you up, but if you're not where you need to be with God, you're exposed to the evil of this world, just as if Jesus had never come to this earth. Hey, come on, church. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Common horse sense says if there's a hailstorm going on and I'm under the tent and you're not, you're going to get hit, but I'm not. Amen. And if you're here today and you're not where you need to be with God, understand you are already in the clutches of the devil. That's why he doesn't bother you that much. He's got you. He's got you doing what he wants you to do, going where he wants you to go, and there is no reason for him to try to entangle you with some kind of weirdness or some kind of other thing. And you say, but I give my life to God. You'll have the protection that passes all understanding. You'll find a peace that nothing in this world can ever give you. You'll find a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And I guarantee you, from one that's been there, done that, and wore the t-shirt, you will never miss what was on the other side of the track. Once you get the reality of what's on this side of the track, I promise you the joy you'll have will outrun anything that happened on the other side. Could you say amen? Glory. Now notice this. The spiritual realm is real. It's organized. It's powerful. If we don't have the power source to wrap ourselves in Christ, then we're left to the whims of the enemy. Listen, John 10:10 tells us the purpose of the devil. For the thief cometh not to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. I mean, let's face it. Do you want to be destroyed? Do you want to be wiped out? You want everything you got stolen from you? Huh? There's a reason drug addicts and alcoholics look like they're 40 years old when they're teenagers. It wears your life out. Come on, church. Sin in this world will simply destroy you, make you old long before your time. Hello? That's good preaching. Amen. Listen, how serious the battle. Notice one of the words in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle. You know, wrestle, I don't know if y'all understand the Greek language or not, but the Greek language is different from the English language. In the English language, we complicate it with adjectives and adverbs. I'm serious. Our language is so complicated to others, it takes them a lot longer to learn our language than it does for us to learn theirs, because our language isn't as simple as theirs. Most languages simply change words when they want to change meaning. We can leave the same word and add some words around it and make a change. I could talk about the man. I could then say the bald-headed man. I could say the bald-headed man with glasses on, the bald-headed man with glasses and a long nose. Hello? I'm using adjectives, adverbs, and so forth to change the meaning of the word I started out with so you can understand what I'm talking about. In Greek, they have words that simply mean to grapple with one another, maybe to throw one another around, to wrestle. Amen. But there is one word that simply means this, pele. Amen. Pele is a thing come to know in the Roman Empire through the Greek word, which simply means the gladiators would fight, and when one of them finally put one of them on the ground in a pele, he would simply look at the head of that thing, which was normally Caesar, and he would go like this or he would go like that. If he went like this, he killed the man he just defeated. Amen. That's a problem I used to have with a game people called Mortal Kombat. Kids really loved it, but I would not ever let my kids play it if I knew about it, simply because you had to kill somebody to get the points. that was teaching people to kill folks. It's the only way you can get the points. You can't just defeat them. You got to kill them. And in this thing called a Pele, it was simply a struggle unto death. And Paul picked that particular word to place in this scripture to tell us we are in a struggle that is a struggle unto death. We do not fight unto death with just simple flesh and blood, but with principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And when that happens, we need more than flesh and blood to be an overcomer. We need the blood of Calvary. We need the love of God that passes all understanding. We need somebody who knows how to fight that fight to help us. We meant what the Bible say, we need to be able to overcome every dart the enemy shoots at us, everything the enemy comes against us with. We need the protection power that can only come through one who has the power to overcome death, overcome the grave, overcome sin. And thank God today we have him in Jesus Christ. Amen. The Son of God, who was that little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, who came to not only be the governor of all governors and the king of all kings, but the Bible said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders, and we'll call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And because of that, I thank God he did come. Could you say amen? See, that's the good news of this whole message. The good news of this whole message is we don't have to live life without Jesus. Amen. Some 2,000 years ago, a little over 2,000, maybe 30 some odd years ago, there was a little babe born in a place called Bethlehem, wrapped in rags. I remember preaching in Honduras. I said, swaddling clothes. And the girl never would say nothing. I finally said, swaddling clothes in your Bible? She said, not mine. The proper connotation is rags. He was wrapped in rags, laid in a cement trough or hewn out rock trough. Hello? I know y'all seen him in the little wooden thing around here in this little stable out in the yard, but the truth of the matter was he was in a cave. Am I right, Alex? I'm asking him because he's been there too. They built a church over the top of it. But he was born in that cave and laid into a little feed trough. It was hewed out into the rock because there wasn't nowhere for him to stay. A very lowly beginning for someone who come to pay a price for your and my sins. Provide the way of protection that you and I can have. Listen to chapter Romans verse 5, or chapter 5 of Romans verse 7. For scarcely a righteous man will die, yet preadventure for a good man one would even dare to die. But God commanded his love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by the blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if we were when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Hallelujah. Listen to what Philippians said. Paul writing that church said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I want you to notice two things. First of all, Jesus Christ can protect your heart and your mind. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? One of the biggest problems we got today is people worrying. Amen. First thing Paul said was, don't worry. Be careful for nothing. That simply means don't worry. Amen. We live in a world full of worry. That's why we got so many folks having to go to psychiatrists and taking, you know, Zantac and all these other things that's supposed to keep you, you know, from having all these problems. We got folks on nerve pills because they're nervous, because they're worried about stuff. Ain't never going to happen anyway. Come on, church. I may have told this, but I remember a guy spending $100 a day going to a psychiatrist because he couldn't sleep at night, because every time he got in the bed, he felt like somebody was under the bed. And he kept paying that psychiatrist and going to him, and he kept taking him back to when he was a child and how his mom and dad whooped him. And that got nothing to do with your fear. Now, if you whoop a child, they'll hit people. My mom and daddy whipped me, I hit people. It had nothing to do with my mom and dad doing, I hit them because they hit me. Glory. Hello? My mom and daddy never bit me, but I bit people. My mama didn't bite me. If I bit somebody, she went and got them to bite me. Hello? Some of y'all going, your parents was mean. Hey, my parents raised 8 kids. We all turned out fairly good. Glory. So if I need somebody to tell me how to raise kids, I'm going to go find somebody that's done it. That's good preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. The guy kept paying the guy money. Finally, he quits coming. Psychiatrist kind of gets upset because he loses $100 a day habit. He runs into him a couple of months later. He said, "Hey, dude, how come you ain't coming to see me? You know you're not cured." He said, "I ain't got no problem. Well, I sleep like a baby." He said, "I started going to church." He said, "I guess you got religion." He said, "Oh, no, I already had religion." He said, "I just wasn't prayed through." He said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, my pastor gave me some good advice." He said, "What's that?" He said, "I cut the legs off that bed. Can't nobody get under, and I'm sleeping like a baby now." Glory. Hello? The truth of the matter is, church, God will guard your heart. Listen, the word guard means to garrison, to place a fortified wall around your heart and around your mind. Amen. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Try it this way. "And the angels of the Lord, he campeth round about those who love him and keep his commandments." Can I tell you, there is a hedge around me that Satan cannot get through. He cannot get by. And the only time I got to worry is when I get out of the will of God. Amen. And the only time God's going to allow that to happen is when I am sure that God is going to take care of me, and he's got confidence that he can let the devil do something to me without me falling, because there will no temptation come unto man but that is common unto man, but in all things God will make a way of escape. I've got a hedge around me that protects me from the enemy and protects me from his assaults. Amen. Could you say amen to that, church? Glory. "Well, preacher, that's pretty good, but it might not be working for me." Hey, God's no respecter person. Hello? I know it's a simple and obvious observation, but we need the principle to sink in. Listen, notice verse 6. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." If you could have been able to handle it, the Bible would have simply instructed, find the power within yourself to protect yourself. Hello? God didn't say that. God said, when you got a problem, come to me. Because I got the answers. I can take care of it. I can solve it. But you can't. Can I tell you, there are some things you ain't going to fix. There are some things you can't make go away. But there is a God in heaven that can handle it. Come on, church. So if you can imagine this world without God, listen, I'm going to tell you one other observation. Not only can God take care of your heart and mind, but you can't. You can't protect your mind from the things that get in it. But God can. You see, my Bible tells me this, and this is the only thing I can do to keep me from going crazy. Keep your mind stayed on him, for he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Paul said, "I'm not going crazy because I got stoned to death over a sermon. I'm not going crazy because they beat me in a building one night and hung me down in the basement to die. I'm not going crazy because I got arrested and put in some building and had to stay 3.5 years for no wrong purpose other than I was being faithful to the gospel. I'm not going to go crazy because they put me on a boat to send me to Rome and the idiot left when I told him not to. I'm not going to go crazy because the boat sunk because he did something he wasn't supposed to do. I'm not going crazy because they locked me up to some Roman soldiers. I'm not going to lose it because they stuck me in a hole in the ground, because I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me, and the life I live in him, and it is by him that I live and move and have my being." And Paul's trying to tell us the only way we'll make it through the very things we're going to go through is to understand it is in him that I live and move, and it is by him that I am an overcomer. And thank God, I don't have to live in a world without Jesus Christ, but I can have that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory through the power of knowing that he is my King, he is my Lord, he is my Savior. Hallelujah. Well, preacher, what about boundaries? Here's a way to keep the boundaries from becoming burdensome. First of all, trust that God cares about you and everything you're going through. Secondly, trust that God has the power to take care of you. And thirdly, trust the boundaries that God has put in place for you. Romans 8, verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, my Father, Hallelujah. Could you say amen to that, church? For the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and the children when we are heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Paul, writing to the church at Galatians, said this: to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, My Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What if Jesus never had been born? The Bible tells us there was a day when there was no king. And can I tell you, there's some of you under the sound of my voice that in your life you have never had a coronation service. He is not really the king of your heart and the king of your life. But his purpose was to come that we might have life. And the only way to have life is to become servants to him, to sell out to him. And it's not bondage. It's not something that's going to hold you down. It's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. It's a peace that pass all understanding. I tell you, I've seen people pray through in the clutches of sin and see a smile come across their face and watch their life change and realize there's something about that. Amen. And can I tell you this morning, it doesn't matter who you are, he loves you. It doesn't matter where you've been, he loves you. It doesn't matter what's been going on in your life, he can take care of it. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Father in heaven, we thank you today, God, for your love and your mercy. God, I believe you to touch this house with your grace today. Holy Spirit of God, move on us. For it is in Jesus' precious name, Lord, I call on you. Have your way.